these readings give us an opportunity to reflect a little bit on our understanding of God, or I could say they help us get beyond a superficial understanding of God. The superficial understanding of God is that the God of the Old Testament is a mean God and the God of the New Testament is a nice God. Mean God, cruel, punishing, Old Testament, driving people into exile, punishing their sins. In the New Testament, God is like a king who forgives the huge debt. He's kind, he's forgiving, he's just a nice guy to be around. Now, the problem with that impression is that both of them are shallow. Both that reading of the first reading and of the gospel, shallow. So let's take let's make an effort to get a little bit deeper into this, starting with this passage from the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel is told by the Lord himself to do this strange prophetic action of gathering up all his stuff and carrying it out like he were going into exile. And as you probably noticed when you heard the reading, while they're looking on. In other words, do this as a display for them to see. It's an action, because actions speak louder than words, and it's a sign to the people that they are going to be driven into exile. Look at Ezekiel and see what's going to happen to you. Now, that's the mean God. I'm going to drive you into exile. The reason why that's a superficial understanding of God is because the reason for their exile is not because God is mean or cruel. It's because the people are rebellious. They are a rebellious house. They have eyes to see, but they do not see, ears to hear, but they do not hear. They are a rebellious house. In other words, the exile is a direct consequence of their own rebellion, their own sin. And Ezekiel's job is to reveal to the people what happens when you rebel against God. You are not only exiled from your homeland, you are exiled from the presence of God himself. You are leaving God when you are rebellious. So that makes it clear that it's not God who's cruel. The people are being mean to themselves. Now, take another step here and see the place of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is the one person who's not rebellious. He's obedient. And yet he's the first one who has to suffer the consequence. He's the first exile. And that strikes us as being awfully unfair. Why does the innocent man have to suffer for the sake of the guilty? See what happens here? He's foreshadowing the work of Jesus. Jesus, who wants us to know the consequences of sin, also takes those consequences on himself first. That's what we see on the cross. He's like Ezekiel, carrying the burden. He's carrying the cross, not because he's guilty, but because he has to relieve the burden of the guilty and show them what the consequences of sin are. So it's not mean or cruel at all. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's a very compassionate thing to do, to take on other people's burdens, even though you yourself don't deserve it, for their sake. Now, today's gospel takes us even further. And this is important to ponder, because it looks, I'm talking about this parable about the unforgiving servant. This challenge of forgiveness is one of the big challenges of the spiritual life, or of human life. The parable starts out by saying, okay, here's a servant with a huge debt, and the king just forgives the whole amount. We say, wow, that's really kind and merciful. But then at the end of the parable, when the king sees that this servant who he forgave is not forgiving, well, then he says, well, wait a minute, the deal's off. Now I'm going to be the mean God again. I'm going to punish you and you weren't merciful, so I'm going to hand you over to the torturers. They say, wait a minute, I thought he was kind and merciful. Now he's sending this servant to the torturers. Again, go beyond the superficial impression. In fact, we can do this by reflecting on the challenge of forgiveness. It's hard to forgive. Everyone knows that. It's a hard thing to do. And we have lots of objections to forgiveness. First of all, it's not fair. Secondly, the person isn't even sorry. Thirdly, if I forgive, he'll just do it again. He won't learn his lesson. Fourth, I can't forget what was done to me. I can't forgive and forget. It's too painful. The emotions are too raw. And all those are real objections to forgiveness. But if you've ever struggled with this, you realize the challenge of forgiveness is not on what the other person has done. It's an interior movement. Because refusal to forgive becomes a burden to the one offended, not to the one who does the offending. Good psychology will tell you this, or any good counselor will tell you this. Yes, you have to work through the process of dealing with an offense. Yes, it's right to work for justice so that the offender will experience some consequence of his or her wrongdoing. But even if all that is done, you still have to let go. Otherwise, you yourself are trapped in your own lack of forgiveness, regardless of what the other person does or doesn't do. Some people have shared with me their experience of having somebody deeply offend them, and they're not repentant. The offender is not repentant, and the person says, well, how can I forgive that offense? Other people say, well, the person's begging me for forgiveness and begging me for forgiveness. I just can't forgive. It's just too painful. I just can't forget what was done. The trap here is focusing on the offense rather than taking the step of freedom interiorly. Now, what Jesus does here is he puts the offense in the context of our relationship with God. Yes, people offend us, and it's sometimes really grave offense. But it's nothing by comparison to what we have done to God. The debt owed to us is nothing compared to the debt we owe to God, and God is willing to forgive. Does God forget? No, not really, because God, he knows everything. Does God encourage people to continue doing the wrong thing? No. Does God think that there should be no consequences for wrongdoing? No. Does God forgive those who are not repentant? No. He doesn't just let it go, because it's not good for the one whom he loves. God is always ready to forgive. Don't get me wrong. He's always ready to forgive. But if we are not repentant, that forgiveness reaches a closed door on our part. So now the challenge of forgiveness for us is to be like God. It doesn't mean pretending that nothing happened. It doesn't mean thinking that it wasn't bad. It doesn't mean letting people keep doing bad things. It doesn't mean any of that. It doesn't mean telling people who are not repentant that it's okay. That's not forgiveness. What this parable challenges us to do is take on the... Well, first of all, to open ourselves to the mercy of God, like the first servant, be willing to be forgiven. And then with that awareness of the great gift of forgiveness, to let go of offenses against us. If we don't do that, we are the ones who are driving ourselves into exile. We are the ones who are burdening ourselves with this unforgiveness. It's a heavy burden, and God doesn't want us to carry it. But if we continue to refuse forgiveness, that's what we do to ourselves. So again, it's not God being cruel to us. It's not God handing us over to the torturers. We torture ourselves with our refusal to forgive, with our clinging to that wound and not letting it be treated and healed. So that's an attempt to try to get past what I say is our superficial impressions. Sometimes we think God is mean, sometimes we think he's nice. It's not that at all. God is always love. He's all love. The challenge is in us to let the truth about God penetrate us deeply enough that we allow him to change our hardened hearts.